The Drag Stars at Sea cruise sailed out in choppy waters after the cruise line issued a controversial letter requesting passengers not to dress up in drag for a drag queen themed cruise. After a very heated public outcry, Carnival RuPaulogized and said anyone could be as fierce as they wanted to be on the high seas.
Today, Michelle Visage, spiritual mama to all the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, joins us to have a kiki and dish the dirt from the cruise, which brought together 1,300 fans and most of the queens from the show.
Who were the best dressed, sluttiest, and strangest on board? And what's up with the one fan who served up peg-legged realness?
Plus, we finally get Michelle to crack and reveal some of the secrets from Season 5.
Why Chad Michaels deserved to win All-Stars.
Her thoughts on Sharon Needles' new album.
And how to heal the frustrated drag queen living inside all of us. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun, hunty. I should have recorded that. Michelle, why shouldn't I have my cell phone in my pocket?
Because the radiation against your scrotum is no good.
That scrotum is good for nothing anyway. Oh. Stop making a mess.
Don't I know it.
Michelle Visage of the House of Love, which is RuPaul's house. Are you the House of Visage?
The House of Visage, but I'll be a member of the House of Love.
So that's officially RuPaul's Real House is on today's Feast of Fun, and we're having a kiki with Michelle Visage to dish the dirt, the tea, on the Drag Stars at
Hunty.
Sea. Drag Stars at Sea cruise. So I'm amazed that no one died on the, no one was forced to walk the plank.
I was going
to
say, I don't know if anybody died. Doesn't somebody always die on a cruise?
They do.
I think so. Yeah. They have actually a refrigerator for bodies.
No, I know, because it's always
and
old
they showed
people.
It to you.
Yeah.
So... showed you her box.
They showed you. I heard that when you got on the boat, the captain went to you and said, Michelle, this is the freezer where we stored the bodies.
It's exactly.
I'm watching you.
It's exactly what happened. God, you get all the good stuff. Somebody always dies on a cruise because it's always old people.
Right, it's true.
It's the Last Supper. Floating Last fucking Supper. Of course.
Were there a lot of old people on your cruise?
Oh, there's always old people on cruises, always. Okay. I mean, going to Alaska would be a lot more old people, but there's always old people on a cruise. Even Carnival, even the fun ship has old people.
So how was Stonewall at Sea?
It was Stonewall-y.
Well, let's talk about that whole controversy that happened before you guys even embarked.
Okay.
And Carnival Cruise Line sent out an email to all the passengers saying, you cannot dress in drag.
An awfully homophobic, stupid email, which was disgusting and pathetic. And
saying, don't do this in front of the children.
The girl, Vicky Ray, has, from what I was told, was let go. No longer has a job.
The woman who sent the
email? Who wrote that email.
Oh, she was fired because of
that? Yes, because, and then the president had to override her. You know, the way I see it was, okay, that may have been her homophobic, yucky stance, but somebody had to approve that letter.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Somebody must have said, like, don't
do this.
Right. Because, like, you can't get dressed up in drag and go to Disney World. They don't allow you to do that.
Well.
But you can be.
You can't be in costume. And some people will say that being in drag is a costume. I disagree, because for a lot of these people, drag is their life. It's their freedom. It's how they express themselves. So just as you would show up in drag to Disneyland, so could I. I'm wearing just as much makeup as you are. And what if I want to wear a wig? Or what if somebody has chemo and they wear a wig? Like, where is the line drawn?
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? So... people came in drag and they were proud and they looked lovely and they had a great time and it ended up being a really, really good thing. But I don't want them to blame Alan Chuck because I really do believe this was a Carnival issue.
Did Alan Chuck say, of course our passengers are going to be dressed up in a costume? They're fans of the show. They want to show off what they have to say.
I don't think that there was enough communication. I think that's what it came down to. I think that they were not... trying to not be forthcoming. I think that they didn't, because not everybody's going to dress in drag.
Sure.
So they didn't have to say, look, there are going to be 1,300 people.
That's a lot of people.
To be fair, there have been comic book cruise ship experiences or Star
Trek
cruise.
That are all costumes.
And everybody shows up in costume.
Yes, yes.
So I thought it was strange for any cruise ship company to be so out of touch with what a drag queen drag cruise would be about.
Look, they're trying to say that, you know, you can't wear a mask, and that's fine. I understand that because burglars, you know, if 1940 wear a mask, whatever their reasoning is, can't wear a mask. Okay, so we'll follow that rule. But, I mean, really, makeup is a mask. So, you know, it all depends. It's, you know, it's totally your point of view and how you view it. I think it was coming down to really ugly, a really ugly gray area, which just looked like homophobia.
So out of those 1,300 passengers, how many did dress up in drag?
Besides the ones that were working, you mean?
Yeah.
I'd probably say maybe 30.
30?
Not a ton. Okay. But there's the rest of them that were fans.
Because I would imagine there was like an opportunity for a lot of them to like have their kiki and just hang out.
That's exactly what it was.
And do their like hang out and drag.
And hurt nobody. Mm-hmm. Like we owned that little back area by the ship, by the gay bar, which the Alchemy Bar.
And that became the gay bar.
Right. It's the gay bar. I said it was like walking down Christopher Street in June. And that's really what it was. And I wish I had local references for everywhere. But, you know, everybody knows Christopher Street in June is Gay Pride Month. So it was very much like walking into Boots and Saddles, and it was just the most amazing, love-filled experience. Like, I'd walk down it everywhere. I turned and say, hey, Michelle, hey, girl. Like, it was like, oh, my God.
It probably took forever for you to get from point A to point B.
It did not happen. My gay tourage, they would just leave. Like, fuck it. I can't because I'll stop and they'll come sit with us. And I couldn't do point A to point B. But I knew it going out that I was out for hours. It's not a 5-minute thing.
And you're a wise woman that you didn't bring your husband along.
No, not for the first one.
Yeah. You'll do them for the next time?
You know, there's a European one that they're talking about doing, which is a 12-day. Yes, I'm going to bring my husband and the kids for that. Okay, but he knows that the only time I'm going to see him is like excursion day.
Yeah.
You know, because my first commitment is to those fans. And
because you're like den mother to
exactly,
all the queens.
Exactly. Yeah. And
you're putting out fires left and right.
That's what I like about you so much, Michelle, is that, and I've said this before, but it's just like, you're really the heart and soul of that reality TV show.
That's bullshit.
And, well, in a sense that you're providing.
RuPaul is heart and soul of that show.
She's a judge.
It's her show. Yeah.
And you are a judge too, but you're not making the decision is not yours to make.
It is not.
You're just someone to consult. And so because of that role, you then become sort of the Tim Gunn role, that you're the nurturer, you're the mentor for these people, not just on the show but afterwards.
I love each and every, honestly, I love them so much. Even the ones, like, I was sitting down on the cruise and I got to spend some time with people that I hadn't been able to spend time with, like Chanel. I didn't have a lot of time to spend with Chanel and Stacey Lane. And both of them thought that I hated them.
Aww.
Chanel's like, I honestly didn't think you liked a damn thing that I did. And I said, Chanel, are we even watching the same show? Like, you to me are the quintessential drag queen. You do costuming from head to toe and you spare no expense at like, I worship everything that bitch does. Just because I had to nickel and dime them, like, really, it came to vagina hairs what I had to split here. That's how stupid it was. Mm-hmm. You know,
that
you
hair
left
is out of place.
It's what it was. Your left eyebrow is higher than your right. Really, bitch. That it was so hard, but I had to literally sit down with a few of them and be like, you don't understand how much I love you and how much I worship you. And I think it changed our relationship for the better.
Is it hard? Because, I mean, for a lot of drag queens, historically, especially before the success of Drag Race, it's been an uphill battle just having a career, getting booked and having gigs. And
sure.
What this show has done is given them actual careers and actual livelihoods.
Yeah, they can quit their day jobs and exist only on drag shows, which is huge. And what was the question?
The question is for the fact that it's like it's transforming things. I was getting into a question, but I forgot.
Was it more of a statement?
It's created an industry.
Just, you know, and I think that's something that deserves to be acknowledged. And I think for a lot of these queens, with Chanel, for example, I know that she's gone through hell. as, because I've been a drag queen for years and working drag queen, and I know that you don't get treated well. I mean, Lady Bunny had to have a rider that the stage needs to support 300 pounds.
250 pounds.
250 pounds because the stage has collapsed on her.
Yeah, it happens.
And the ridiculous riders that they have in order just to, like, not kill themselves.
Yeah, but people don't take them seriously as performers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looked at still as the kind of minstrel shows, if you will.
But you consider yourself a drag queen?
I do. I do put myself in with them because I've walked the same path.
Yeah.
I've started in the same place. The only difference is I'm a biological female. But I've done the same thing. You know, I went a pop star route, but we all started from the same place and with the same people, a lot of us, you know.
What is the biggest changes that you're seeing in their lives and their mindset with being performers?
I think that when they really are smart, some of them are not as smart as others. Some of them there's issues with alcohol or whatever it may be, so it clouds their judgment.
Hey, let's not talk about Sharon Needles so soon.
Shut up, not her. Well, yes, her, but not her.
Not her specifically.
Right.
In general. But you know, when you're performing in a club and you're there all the time, it's easy to fall into that lifestyle.
Yes, and that's for anybody in the nightclub industry, you know, and that's just where we were kind of weaned. But it takes away their business sense sometimes, and that gets in the way. So therefore, they can't grow as much as they really could or should. So some of them get further than others. Some of them have good people that help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have a nice support staff that help them get further. But I mean, drag is more mainstream now than it's ever been. And we can thank Rue for that.
And we can thank you. And we can thank World of Wonder and the show.
True. But I'm going back to World of Wonder as much as Rue, but Rue is the one who's been knocking down those barriers since... Yeah. That's his first show in 95 or 96. I jumped on board in 96, so it must have been 95 when he first started the VH1 show. And then they retooled it in 96 when he brought me on. So he's been knocking down those walls for longer than that, but on mainstream television since then. And I give him all the credit.
Can I get an amen around here?
Amen.
A Roop man.
So what crazy things happened on the ship? Because I was joking with Fausto all day about, like, I wonder if any of the girls were serving up peg leg realness on the boat. and I said that to you and you looked at me and you're like, well, let me tell you.
Actually. Yeah, you know, realness. There was this guy, and bless his heart, this was like the only time he's ever gotten out of like Lima, Ohio, which I believe it where Glee takes place, right?
Yeah.
And he's really from there. And he was so excited when he saw me at the hotel and he was telling me his story. And this is the first time he was ever doing. He was a big boy, and Carmen and I, it was the red party. We came out of the discotheca. And Carmen, you know, is naked, tits and pasties, and you got Carmen.
The usual outfit.
Right.
She claims she's a nudist.
Correct. And we get there, and he's like, can I take a picture? And we're like, yeah. You know, Carmen sets us up. She has to have it. And we smile, and didn't even notice until the next day that Manila goes, I took a picture of you guys. Did you look at the guy? And I go, no. She goes, look, scroll. He had a peg leg.
And he was wearing an eye patch, too?
An eye patch and a thong.
And so he was like, I'm going to go on this pirate cruise with these wenches.
And then the next picture I see is Manila holding up his leg. She put her Swarovski encrusted heel on the peg leg.
Oh, my God.
And she's holding it with him with her little notorious cross-eyed face. And I'm like, you held his leg. She's like, he asked me to. But then he asked me to hold it, and I told him no. Does that make me a
bad
person?
Why wouldn't you hold his leg?
It freaked me out. I looked at him, I go, dude, it's just weird. Why do you want me to hold your leg? I'll hug you. I'll give you a kiss. We'll take a picture. You can squeeze my tit. Why do you want me to hold your leg?
Well, maybe because the show represents something very special to him. And so it's kind of like a politician blessing a baby, or, you know, when a celebrity
touches your leg.
You know, I'll touch it.
I mean, you're probably one of the most important people.
That's fine. But what is me holding his leg going to do?
I wonder if did it smell.
It's not. Like cheesy?
I don't know.
Well, you know, because amputated prosthetic legs get a little funky and
well, you would think.
Point, yeah.
Think about it. Anything like that.
It's like stuck on your body.
Like with a transgender woman dilating, it's got a smell in there too.
Let's not talk about Carmen Carrera like that.
Anything. She is not there yet.
She still has a crazy glue vagina.
She does.
I've seen that up close.
Yeah. It's like Elmer's glue dripping out of the sides.
It's really
the glue it down.
I got to say, you know, hats off to Carmen Carrera for serving up vaginal realness.
She ends up everything realness. That's my sister. Yeah. She is.
She's like, I was looking at her up close and I was like, this is a woman. I mean, this
stunning.
Stunning. Mm-hmm. And just has hips and tits. And you know, and hats off to her, the fact that she can subvert sort of like legal, because if a woman walked around completely stark naked like that, she'd be arrested.
It's really weird when I see, because I buy the Carmen Carrera package. Buy it, hook, line, and sinker. And she, it's weird, like when we're going somewhere and, you know, I have the list of people and you see like Christopher, like her name, it's just like, Carmen's a woman, honey. There is no doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah.
Seeing her name as Christopher is just wrong now.
She needs to get that changed.
Well, she will.
Yeah.
For a lot of the performers, they're sort of some of them have transitioned. Stacey Lane Matthews.
Stacey Lane is transitioning.
Yeah, she says she's on the fast food transition. She that, eats that a work. Lot of fast
that
food.
Works. She announced that here the on the show.
Yeah.
She turned it, by the way, on the cruise ship. Her CD skipped like a mother. She couldn't go on. I was like, oh shit, should I just go out there and do some comedy with her? She grabbed a mic and handed her the mic and she just started singing that Shine Bright Like a Diamond, the Rihanna song. Aww. She brought the house down. Aww. She killed it. People were making it rain all over Stacey Lane Matthews.
That's a beautiful moment. Who was the sluttiest drag queen of them all?
Mariah Paris Balenciaga.
Really?
I don't know if she was the sluttiest, but she was definitely. Mariah likes to drink. And Mariah, everybody knew Mariah. So did she probably have some fun? I'm not a betting girl, but if I was.
Is Mariah the girl from the Atlanta, from the ball scene?
Yes.
Okay.
She's fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She's a hairdresser in Atlanta, and she is stellar. And I just love her. I love everything about her, except for her Joan, Mommy Dearest impersonation.
Was Jade, you know, working?
Jade Sotomayor?
Yeah.
Jade Sotomayor got around.
You know, did he dress in drag at all?
Penis is legendary. He dressed in drag.
Biggest cock in all of
I know,
the contestants.
I know. Yeah. Dressed in drag all the time. Like, sorry, I hit the tambourine.
I'm sorry.
I had a mama's and papa's. Mama's and a papa's moment. So let me tell you what happened. Jade, I would see her 1 minute at one thing during the day and she'd be out of drag. She'd go into drag like 2 times in 1 day, different looks. Bitch is crafty.
Jade is very, very versatile.
Bitch is crafty.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing is that a lot of people don't realize that Jade is a male stripper and a drag queen.
Still?
Booked both.
Is he still a boy stripper?
Yeah.
You mean like a go-go boy?
He's a dancer, but I don't know if necessarily.
What do you mean dancer?
Boy.
A go-go boy?
A go-go boy.
He was a go-go
a
boy, but
boy?
he was also like, yeah, he would be like up, you know, he'd go as a drag queen and then later on he'd
take off.
Oh, so he would do
drag.
Both for one, yes. Two for the price of one?
Yeah. He get double booked through different agencies for the same night, and it was like a. You know, like,
it's like a Brady Bunch
Lucy.
Moment.
Yes, I Love Lucy moment. Like, oh, my sister's outside. Right. Let me come back.
He'd walk in with a mustache on.
Yeah, it was. I was like, and he's like, don't tell anyone.
But
don't you
also
earlier
works
tonight.
A professional dancer though?
You know,
has
I
a
think
dance
he's
team
gorgeous, and he's a mm-hmm. gorgeous drag queen. Mm. I really think
best dress. Who was the best dress?
In boy drag or girl drag?
Drag, female drag. You gotta make some choices here.
Well,
hard choices.
Carmen
looked fierce.
You can't say dressed.
Undressed.
She was giving the most female realness.
Yeah, gorgeous. You know, Chanel is always amazing. Like I said, like
you're
always.
Just saying that because Chanel thinks you hate her. And now you're trying to make
no,
up for
no.
It.
I swear, me.
Yeah.
Whose ass am I trying to kiss? No.
So what are the people that weren't part of like the drag race? At
Alexis
sea?
Looked gorgeous too.
Alexis Mateo.
Yeah, she did.
Sharon Needles. How's she look?
Dead.
Okay. What about Alaska Thunderfuck?
She only got in drag once.
Well, really? How much of the cruise did she actually miss? Because
she can't. She's season 5. Nobody even knows her, really. So
You're only not like, famous yet, hunty.
Only need. Well, that's what I said. So it's funny. You and Sharon were the only ones that didn't show up for drag at the drag breakfast. Your season didn't air yet. It's funny how you think you can get away with that.
Wait, there was a drag breakfast?
And there was a drag lunch.
Okay.
A brunch. It was a lunch or
it
brunch?
It was a lunch.
Okay.
And Needles, they really had to be in drag because it was the last chance for people to get their pictures taken.
Yeah.
There were even some drag queens walking around who weren't on the show, going around table to table, like taking pictures and signing the RuPaul doll. And we were like, who are you?
Who was that?
Drag queen named Misty Eyes.
So is Misty Eyes on season 6?
No.
And she never will be.
If it was good. You will never be on the show now.
Bless her soul. Bless her soul. No.
But I mean, for a lot of these queens who want to be on the show, do you think it was a good idea for them to show up there? And I imagine the producers of the show and you and people of influence certainly got to see them.
It will not hurt. If I saw somebody in drag that I thought was amazing, absolutely be in my mind. But truth be told, kids, I have nothing to do with the casting process. But Chanel was on there, girl Chanel, and Chanel does. She cast last season.
Oh, Chanel was actually casting for...
She's casting.
She cast all the young, pretty girls for season 5.
And she was on there.
I gotta tell you, it's like, the next season has
They're
really...
They're not all young.
They're super young. They seem younger. This is the youngest cast you guys have ever had.
I don't know if that's true.
It's like, it's RuPaul's babies.
Some of them are
Drag Race babies.
Some of them are very young.
Some of them are really like, you know.
Detox isn't young.
Yeah, but I mean, Alaska Thunderfuck, is she 21 years old?
Yes. Yes, silly.
I think they got together when she was like 16 or 17.
Oh, stop it. She's not Kevin Clash.
She's got to tickle me something.
Who wins season 5? Will you tell us right now?
Oh, yeah. LaShawn Beyond.
Oh, great. Thanks. I didn't really want to watch it.
He wins.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Can you tell us anything about season 5?
It's good.
Yeah.
It starts January 28th on Logo.
Yeah.
I will say that all those people that have complained year after year that we don't give enough love to pageant girls.
Okay.
We definitely have some pageant girls this season.
Sure. And a little too much love.
I don't ever want to hear it again.
Because you guys have pageant queens who are rivals.
I love that. That's not too much love. That's fucking dynasty. What is wrong with you?
That's what I'm saying. It's like you had so many of these pageant queens on the show that I think you guys almost like set them up to like have a catfight.
Well, we've never really focused on like pageant girls. Like it's always like you always ignore the pageant girls, mm-hmm. or you ignore the camp girls. It's always nobody's ever going to be happy, right? No, there's always going to be somebody that's not happy and thinks that we ignore.
You have very strong performers, and certainly, you know, Alaska is a gorgeous queen. Detoxicunt is Detox now dropped the cunt.
Well, it has to for TV, so it's just Detox.
Okay, and then Alaska Thunder.
No,
fuck.
Just Alaska.
So it's just going to Alaska. I thought those two are very strong queens. Certainly Jinx, that I've been watching her videos on YouTube.
Jinx Monsoon.
Monsoon, she's a fantastic queen.
Very talented theater queen.
So so that's your top three there.
I'm not saying a word.
We have
because
Michelle
rumors go around, and since Perez ruined it for season 3, nothing's ever going to be the same again. Mm-hmm. So Rue had that genius idea of doing that last year and finding out at the
that's here to stay.
I would assume so.
Yeah,
the reunion show they taped 3 different endings. And
correct. I don't know the winner of season 5. Truth be told.
So if like Russians kidnapped you and tortured
did not,
you,
do not know.
You will never know.
I don't know
until
is
we
there
all
like
know.
A torture clause because you like you'll get fined if you give out the thing, but like if people actually torture you, like do you have to pay?
I do not know. Honestly,
they were gonna set fire to a Prada purse.
There's a lot of fierce queens this season that when they first came out, I literally looked at Rue and was like, "Holy shit!" Like I thought, what can top season 3? And then we get House of Haunt and all these crazy Latrice and Chad and Fifi and
drag's the gift that just keeps on giving.
Like herpes, I'm telling you.
I noticed that there's no gigantically fat drag queens this season, though.
Season 5, gigantically fat, no.
Does Latrice count for 2 seasons since she was so big?
I wish. I love her so much. But we don't not show, you know, we love our big girls.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a matter of what's sent in and what penetration's a big girl.
She is, yeah.
She's in there for a bit. And Roxy Andrews is a plus girl. She, you know, she used to be a 300 pounder.
Wow.
And she's lost like 100 pounds.
Shit.
But she's still a big girl. Mm-hmm. She's thick. Don't think she ain't because she's purdy.
On Drag Stars at Sea and in the next season, any fights? Any kind of
conflict? No fights. I'm telling you, this cruise was such a fucking success.
Yeah. How about the people that weren't part of the drag race? What did they... Because there was concern about the children.
Please, the children. My kids would have killed to be on that cruise. That's why they're definitely going to come on the next one. It was so I would never put my kids around something that was going to ruin them. Mm-hmm. You know, gay people, drag queens, that's part of my children's lives and should be part of everybody's lives. You're not going to not talk to that person because they're in a wheelchair or because they have Down syndrome. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you ever cut out a whole sect of a people because you don't agree with what they do? I just think it's ridiculous. So for my kids to be around this would have been just the cherry on the sundae.
I would
sundae.
Love for you guys in the next cruise, if you do this, is have a place where people can lip sync for their lives. And if they fail, they get thrown into a tank of water.
That would be super fun. I would love it. But you know, this was a baby steps. This was our first one, yeah. And it was success. There were things like I hosted everything, so there's certain things I think should change. Mm. Like I did not stop working the entire time, and I'm grateful for it. And Al and Chuck were incredible hosts.
Yeah, I kind of sense that you're like ready for a vacation now. From
I
your
need
vacation.
One
yeah.
from them. I need a break from that.
You look fantastic, though, by the way.
Thanks.
Last time we talked to you, you were like on a special diet.
You know, it's not diet. It's just I decided to kind
food.
Of, you know, detox it all out of my life, you know, get rid of all the crap. And I've been following that. And it's
well, you were
working.
Acting like it was the most important thing you have ever done.
What?
your new holistic.
Never.
Healthy.
But I've
but
always
you were
been
just
like
on
that.
It. Oh, really?
I've always been like that. It's just I went through a period after I hurt my neck of being so depressed that I ate whatever I wanted and I wasn't being good to myself. Mm. And it shows. I was a fat hog on TV. And it's funny because nobody cares. Nobody cares what I'm going through in my life, who died, if I'm injured, if I'm sick. Nobody gives a fuck. All they want to do is go, you look so fat. You look so old. You look so ugly. People are so brave behind their computer keyboards when they don't have to look you in the eye. Do you know what I mean? And it's not just me.
Oh,
like,
let's go to Facebook.
Tyra Sanchez broke down and said, you know, somebody said to her, you know, why do you act like you don't even want to be here? Everybody else is out having a good time. You're sitting there miserable, you know, pulled away, disconnected. And Tyra said, you know, those people that Michelle was just talking about, and Morgan had mentioned those people just being evil. She goes, they've made me question my confidence. She goes, I have no confidence anymore. And it's not that she didn't want to be there. It's that she's lost that, you know, and I understand what that feels like. If you're not strong within your own mind and body and you're not quite there yet, anybody can throw you off kilter. They're so mean. People are so mean out there.
Mm. But people are, there's going to be haters always.
Always.
And especially if you put yourself out there.
Season 5, I look like a big, fat, hot mess. And I know
you want to know how much we're hated? Just go to iTunes and read the reviews.
Yeah. No.
I don't read them.
No. You should never read the comments. Never, ever. And I won't. But
I read the comments on our website because, you know, I want to communicate with people.
Yeah,
but
I want to know if I, you know.
But if there's a picture of me, I don't. Don't you think I could see that I have a belly in that picture, too? Do you think I'm kidding myself? I know. Yeah. I know that I gained weight.
I've been there too. I've recently, you know, in the past couple of years, I've lost almost 50 pounds. And it's just
good
like sometimes you just think of yourself, you wonder, how did I even get to that spot?
Because there's something in your life that nobody else gives a shit about except you and Fausto. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My husband's the only one that cares about it, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and it shouldn't even matter. Like, it doesn't. Like, I shouldn't have to explain myself because really, they shouldn't give a shit. What they should give a shit about is what they see on TV, and that's what it is. And guess what? If I do it, if Tyra does it, if anybody does it, we have to reap what we sow. So when Mariah goes out there looking fat, or Christina Aguilera, or me, not that I'm putting myself on the same level, but I've gone
You're
the roller coaster.
You're on a higher level than
I've got. Oh, go on. I've gone the roller coaster ride with him. I've been fat and skinny and back again, and it's super unhealthy, and that's what started that whole kind of thing. I've lost 15 pounds. I've got about 20 more that I want to get off, so by the reunion, I am like back to who I really am.
I think that's why it's so important as an artist, as a performer, to not just be reducing yourself into a body.
Correct.
Right? You need to express your intellect.
And you need to be who you are, despite what people say about you. Because Rue said it best when he said, what people say about you is none of your damn business. Because it's not.
Right.
But you are impacted by what other people say about you. And my say is like the best way to withstand that Hurricane Sandy of negativity is to focus on being constructive and helping others. Because when you're worried about the welfare of your fellow man or fellow queen, then you're not going to, you know, what someone negative says about you.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
That's what I was trying to tell Tyra. Yeah. It doesn't matter what those people think. It matters about you building your strength from within.
What are you doing to give back to the queens that are struggling and who are coming before you or after you?
Are you asking me?
Well, no, I'm not. You. I'm saying,
are you saying in general?
Yeah. It's also in general, just focusing on yourself, and it's just you just have to leave the other stuff go to the side.
But sometimes
it's just going to corrupt your mind.
I think what Fausto's saying, correct me if I'm right or wrong, is sometimes it's better to be taken out of your situation and give. Mm-hmm. So maybe this person can help this new queen, or this queen who needs guidance, or a queen who's struggling. Or, you know, like being able for me to Thanksgiving dinner to serve the kids at the Griffith Youth Center, the LGBT youth center, was just an amazing couple hours. And a few hours of your time can make a difference in such a big way for some of these kids. And it was such a great moment. So if you could help whoever it is, whether it's your family, a friend, an animal, whatever it is, sometimes just giving makes you that much stronger within yourself.
And find your drag mother, your mentors, and cultivate a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's, you know, not like, easy, though, a lot of people can't find drag mothers in small towns. And I get a lot of...
Find people to be inspired. I mean, if Michelle Visage inspires you...
Right.
She's on Twitter. You respond to every tweet I notice.
I do.
You're my, in some ways, you're my drag mom. You and Lady Bunny are my drag mom. Because, you know, I've followed your career for many years since when you were on VH1 with RuPaul.
Right.
And it's like, in a lot of ways, your sensibility and your ability to connect and to talk about endlessly about anything and make it entertaining and fascinating is something that inspires me as a talk show host, as a podcaster. And learn Lady Bunny has influenced my drag, you know, to be an ugly, hideous monster.
Oh, God, everything. I just love Bunny so much. But I get it. And I appreciate that. And, you know, for me, it's just about life is so short. And if we spend so much time internalizing things and just worrying about what everybody thinks about us. And I'm a victim, too. I mean, and I'm also guilty, you know, so I get hate every day. And, you know, we all get it on different levels. Some of them it's from our family. Some of them it's at our job. Some of them it's on Twitter. So, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of building this kind of force shield and letting it bounce off, because it really does not matter.
I think of it as a garden. You know, it's like you don't worry so much of a couple of worms in your apple when you have a beautiful garden to see, to live in, you know? And it's like cultivate the garden. In Latin America, friendship and romance is compared to as a rose. I cultivate a rose. And I really love that metaphor, because really that's like what good friendship and good love should be about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Takes us a long time to get to this point in our lives. So when there's 22-year-old kids that are listening, it's a different world for them out there than it is for us.
Hunties, that's why we did this podcast for you, so you can listen to it over and over again.
Well, it's something you've heard since you've probably been a small kid, but it's just hard to really take it to heart and run with it.
Comes in time.
Yeah.
It comes in time. Mm-hmm. And you can do it, because everybody means something. They really do. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear people say, but I feel like I'm not worth anything. You are. You are so worth it. Just look in that fucking mirror. Look. You'll see it.
Mm-hmm. We have some fascinating questions for you. Probably some questions you can't answer.
I'll try. I'll do my best.
Like Michael Verratti wants to know who wins season 5, and of course you don't.
I told you, LaShawn Beyond.
LaShawn Beyond. As for the holiday season, make sure you ask her about the 1997, is that 97 or 93?
97, bitch.
93 Christmas special she did with RuPaul for VH1. Any particular memories, those segments of being mad at Ru for buying her a crappy gift must have been a blast.
RuPaul gave me a RuPaul t-shirt for my, excuse me, I have consumption, from my Christmas gift. We did a Mommy Dearest kind of, do you want to say this?
Yeah,
1997.
You hated the present.
I hated the present because it was a picture of me. It looked like me on a t-shirt. And said the RuPaul show with a big picture of me, but it was supposed to be Ru. So I got mad and I did the Madonna Truth or Dare and I shoved the bottle down my throat. And then we did the Mommy Dearest scene with Cindy Adams and the real Christina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, she showed up?
Why is her name? It's just the younger one.
Christina Crawford.
Not the real Christina.
Oh.
Applegate.
Aguilera? Who's the real Christina?
Christina, Christopher, bring me the axe. Hello, Mommy Dearest.
Christina Crawford.
Sedgwick or something.
Not the older one, the younger one.
Oh. The one who played the little girl on Grown Up?
Yes.
Oh, I have no idea.
So she played the assistant, and Rue and I just did lines in the scenes, and then we sang I'll Be Home with Bells On. It was just such a great Christmas special.
It's having a second wind on YouTube now, and all these bloggers are like posting
Is
about
it. Is that the 93 one or the 97 one?
The 97 one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
What's the 93 one? There's no 93
one.
What's
the one in 93 with Sherry Vine?
I thought that was when you were 40 years old.
But that wasn't on VH1.
Oh, that was in the UK. Okay.
Yeah. I thought your career had been much older than that.
Thank you, Bunny.
When Foster wants to get a little diggy, he just does it in Lady Bunny's voice.
Exactly.
This is really not me. That's Lady Bunny.
So it doesn't
Bunny.
Come right, off
right.
Cunty.
Exactly. But I can see right through it, honey.
Actually, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Mimi M first, and hopefully...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm really sorry, too. But we're going to be talking about the history and origins of all the words that drag queens use, like hunty... and shade, and
tea.
Even the word drag, where it comes from. Because history is fundamental, honey.
It's funny that some of the words, I was just talking about this, you know, boots and the house down. Those were around when I first started walking the ballrooms, going to the ballrooms and walking
boots.
Balls. Boots. Like, she's cute, boots. Yeah, it means like, it means like super duper.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's been around since 1986, 87. Mm-hmm. And it's just had a resurgence, and, you know.
Was it in Paris is Burning? It seems like everything was in Paris is Burning.
Down was in Paris is Burning. I wonder if Boots is probably in there, too. But it's making a resurgence. Hunty is newer.
Yeah, we're we've been trying to dig up the origins of the
hunty
word
is
hunty.
Just cunt and honey.
But where did it come from?
Well, and it comes from the gays. We just, look, we create
Because the
them.
First time it was uttered in mainstream media, it was on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1.
Right.
Two, with Raven.
No, Raven, RuPaul herself said it in season one.
Oh.
So well, because it's been around for a while, but it's newer. It's not an 80s word, you know?
So it's really fascinating to see how hunty is getting used more and more and more, and how some of these words, especially because of the success of Drag Race, have kind of made it into the vernacular of gay culture.
Love it. You know? I mean, I love it.
So it's like RuPaul needs to release a dictionary.
A rook-tionary.
A dictionary.
Exactly.
Adam Daniels, I didn't know that Michelle Visage had a penis.
See, that's mean.
That's so
that's
mean.
That's not mean.
I would not have read that one.
That's not mean at all. Michelle Visage does not have a penis. Okay. But I say that I do, and Rue and I joke that I do, because everybody thinks I have the biggest dick on the planet. It's just been an ongoing joke. Because when you have a BFF, you make fun of them. You know what I mean? So that's Rue ribs me.
Well, you're fun to be the little sister in the relationship.
That's it.
Like, even hanging out with you, I feel like grabbing you and giving you a nookie.
Yeah. I tend to do that to boys. And it's, I do not have a penis, honey.
Andrea Rogers writes, I'd like to know why who Michelle's favorite drag contestant has been and who she thinks got eliminated too soon.
Who do you love? Who went too fast?
I can't say who I love because I love them all. Oh, God, that sounds so awfully pageanty. But really, I love...
It's like asking a mom...
You can't
do
it. Sophie's Choice. You can't do it. Because it wouldn't be right. And people have even asked me who I dislike the most. It's not... I don't have that kind of a relationship with them when they're on the show.
Sure.
I see them on the main stage. I judge the challenge. And that's it. So I can't say who I loved. There's certain ones who I'm drawn to. But that doesn't mean that I like them better than others.
Well, you're saying that Chanel like felt like
I didn't like anything she did, and that's so wrong.
And I imagine that some of the contestants, they feel very close to you, and then they get up on the stage in the show, and they're like, I can't believe that she said I looked bad in green.
Right. Possibly.
I mean, Pandora Box was like, seemed kind of crushed when you were reading her.
I know, and I thought she looked gorgeous. That was the prettiest I've ever seen Pandora look.
And I gotta say, to Pandora Box who's listening to this, you are better than that, and to let anybody, including Michelle Visage, bring you down. I was like, I can understand that first time around on the show, but when you're on All Stars, and we've worked with Pandora Box.
Yeah, and you've seen me rip people to shreds before. That was not ripping. That was kind.
Yeah, and I was just like, and she just had this big old frown on her face.
She got a bad rap in that season.
I told her on the show, people, I don't know. You can take a horse to self-esteem water.
Are you calling Pandora a horse?
Okay. canary.
You've seen her in drag.
you can take a horse to self-esteem water, but you can't make them take a drink sometimes.
Agreed. And right? She did get a wah-wah for that season, for sure.
I think it's kind of like with and All-Stars that you had these contestants, and it seemed like you had brought back like people that had quit the show. Like, I don't
Tammy
know.
Brown.
Tammy Brown
Chanel.
Kind of like gave up. Chanel quit.
Yada.
Yara Sophia. Yeah, yeah. All three of them.
Was this like the losers of All-Stars?
Don't ask me. I didn't book them.
Will there be another All-Stars?
Yes.
Has that been announced or planned or
no,
organized?
No, I'm pretty sure that that's going to happen. I mean,
because season five is done.
Season five is done. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Is it definite? Not yet.
So you guys are technically on vacation now.
We're on hiatus.
Until next production.
That's why I'm here in Chicago. We're touring.
We're having a kiki with Michelle Visage.
When people want to apply for season six, when does that process start?
Rue will announce that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but typically it's like February or March.
Yes.
How much money should I stick into the audition tapes that I'll be submitting for Mark?
First of all, I love that he said tape, Grandpa. Love
See,
it.
DVD or what is it?
Just video.
Right? Video file.
Right, MP4. None. Are you going to audition?
We've always considered it, yeah. We just don't have the money, honey. It's like, because it costs a lot of money to put all those costumes together.
Not if you can sew, like Jada or LaShawn. Or...
It's like, let me tell you.
I do have a sewing machine.
But can you use
Peaches
it?
Peaches Christ. Yes. Peaches Christ came to Chicago and said, I want you to serve me up Victorian vampire drag realness.
No, she just said drag. She didn't do
I want you in drag.
Out.
And
I
so
want you in
we were like, went to the roots of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And we're like, we've been watching Project Runway. If these nincompoops can do that, anybody can. So we literally, with very little knowledge, got one of those, you know, Victorian vampire lady patterns.
Like a costume? Yeah. Oh, pattern.
A pattern from the, you know, McCall's.
You can try it on if you want.
McCall's. From Butterick?
Butterick. Yes, it was one of those Butterick patterns. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so we got all the material, and for 48 hours, we sewed like the wind and made these fierce outfits. And when we showed up, she was like, jaw on the floor.
How'd they, well, can I see pictures?
Yeah, we'll show you pictures after the show. Okay, we look fierce, girl.
Says you.
Well, you know, my
you
drag
say, you'd
is
be
different.
Like, oh, wow.
Any more cooking videos?
We have a couple that are in the can that we just have to, like, finish editing. We did a little rum and coke.
Those are my
favorites. And another one. What was the other? A pina colada.
Pina colada. But I heard rumors that on this next season of Drag Race, you guys have a cooking challenge. And shame on you for not inviting us to be judges.
I am not going to comment on that.
Just wanted to say that. David Allon, Michelle, I know you're probably done a lot of gigs over the years, but what about a wedding? You know, just curious.
What about it?
Have you ever done a wedding gig?
Doing
officiate,
what?
Officiate, like being the priest.
How can I do that? I'm not a priest.
Well, you get a license.
How did you just say become one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My spare time.
All you do is you send away, it's on the internet, and they send you a little thing that says Universal Life Minister.
Oh, one of them?
And do a drag wedding.
I would love it. And I've certainly,
you'd be a
certainly
good,
sang
good at
in enough weddings.
You'd
I've
be really
sang
good
it.
At
I think
that.
That's maybe what he meant. Is, did you
singing?
Sing in a wedding?
Oh, yeah. I do a really fierce Lord's Prayer, Barbara Streisand version.
Justin Melgarejo says, did you ever have something she really wanted for Christmas but never got? What did you want for Christmas that you didn't get?
Besides you.
Lots of things. A Corvette, for starters. I've been wanting that since I was 17 years old. Mm. You know, it's something that I always dreamed about. And I always put it on the back burner for something for my children or doing the right thing as a parent. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get the Corvette, I'm going to get the fucking Honda Odyssey minivan. You know, and it's
You
something.
Really want a Corvette?
Oh, my God. It's been my dream since I'm from New
like
Jersey.
Like a pink Corvette.
I'm not Angeline, though. Sharon Needles will beg to differ with some of the shoes that I wear. Not tonight. I wear these really
She's wearing Uggs right now, people.
I wear these shit Angeline shoes that are falling apart in the cruise, and I literally had to glue them day to day.
Where do you find all this wonderful New Jersey-themed jewelry?
I get it made. There's a lovely girl named Lisa, and she has a company called Jewelry by Donna. Jewelrybydonna.net, and she can do any state, any size.
has the mayor of New Jersey, what, Christie?
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, has he, like, said thank you for...
Not with me, because I'm a huge gay rights supporter, and he's anti-gay. So.
Yeah, but he's, like, getting a little soft now. He might actually become a Democrat.
Wow.
You know what? Then the first thing, no, it's not.
He needs to apologize because they actually passed gay marriage in New Jersey, and he vetoed it.
He vetoed it, baby.
So he's on my shit list. Asshole.
Yeah, he is.
Jeremiah, does pain, were you ever bullied as a child or as an adult?
What advice would you give?
You're still being bullied
all
by
the
RuPaul.
Time. Right? Aha! I was bullied so much in my childhood, so much. And it kills me to see these kids succumbing to it. I don't want to get too serious here, but I spent my entire childhood being bullied. From third grade, this big girl named Trudy Everett used to beat me up if I didn't bring her candy every day. And I didn't tell anybody because I was so scared because she was so much bigger than I am. And it started then.
So she'd come up to you and say, Michelle, where's my candy?
And she'd beat me up.
Where's my candy?
Unless I gave her candy. And so I'd have to stop at the store every day. I don't know where I got the money. Mm-hmm. Or I'd give her whatever my mother put in my lunch. Yeah, she'd beat me up. And then when it came to high school and she tried that shit, she ended up getting expelled for something else. And I was so excited that she got switched schools because I was so afraid she was going to kill me. I was little. Third grade is little.
Have you looked her up on Facebook?
I don't want to. I don't even want to.
What's her name?
Mm-mm. No. I don't want that negativity in my life again. Mm-hmm. I didn't. But
you know, that's a beautiful thing, though. I think it's like for us to go. You know, the power of Facebook or social media is to find those people that tormented us as children.
And do what?
And laugh at them because that misery.
Because you see their picture
poisons you.
It's true.
Yeah.
And when you're frowning for 30 years or so, and it really physically affects you.
I was bullied my whole life, even through high school, because I was a theater geek. And then when people realized that I was funny, that was kind of my cover up. That was my way of reeling people in. So don't pay attention that I have this blue mohawk and love the Sex Pistols and wore crazy clothes. Like me because I'm funny and I'm talented.
But then for a while, as an adult, is that part of the reason why you went into being in a girl group and seduction and being a sex symbol and being...
A sex symbol, that's a little bit extreme.
I think
I'm not a sex symbol. I never was a sex symbol.
That was part of the allure
of seduction.
The name of the group.
Seduction.
Yeah, but that was the irony. There was nothing seductive about us. We
had
kids.
A song, It Takes Two, and it's like you're being very coy.
It
and
was
you're
cute.
Wearing cute outfit and being, you know, moaning into the microphone.
No, there was no moaning. No. There was no moaning. I was
19.
So
you don't see it as the fact that you were trying to be sexual in any way?
No, I think there was innuendo, but we weren't that kind. Like, we were kids, you know?
Maybe that's why Madonna's manager called your manager and said, if you're going to imitate me, at least do a good job
at
it.
But that to me was the biggest day of my life because she knew who I was.
That has got to be the most rewarding
for
and
me,
flattering
it was.
Thing.
Yeah. I didn't give a shit what she said. It's just the point that she knew that I existed, right? So for me, it didn't matter. And...
you're like, I pranked
that's
Madonna.
That's it. And I think I ended up doing what I did because that's all I ever could do. Theater and acting and performing it's only been the only thing I've ever done since I was 8.
Dakota Stanley says that he still loves seduction and is bringing your girl group back for you by playing them on jukeboxes at all the bars.
Well, thank you. I don't make a penny off of it, but if the gays love it, then I'm happy.
Are you going to release any music so you can make a penny off
of
it?
You know, I never say never. I don't... It's not like...
You need a rap.
It's not...
A New Jersey
Rue's
rap.
Rue's putting out a song like every other day, it
Rue
seems like.
Rue lives for music. That's what Rue does. Rue lives for music. I live for making people laugh. I want people to have a good time.
I got to tell you, I saw Rue on, what is it, Jenny? No, who's... Ricky Lake is back. And when she goes...
Did you say Jenny?
Yes, I did.
Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones.
Oh, rest in peace, Jenny Jones.
Ricky Lake and
Rue. Is she dead?
No, but her career is.
Okay.
And I was at the gym.
You're
welcome. I was working out and Rue goes, she's like, I work out to my own music. I just started bursting out laughing.
Rue does.
Yeah.
Rue loves... Look, when I tell you...
I know.
I've never met somebody more into music than Rue. Like, everything about Rue is music related. Every time I have a question, anytime I need anything, Rue is a virtual jukebox, like living and breathing.
Well, and her work with Lucian Payne, Piani?
Lucian Piani, yeah.
Piani Revolution is fantastic. I think actually that Glamazon is a good song.
I love Glamazon. None.
It's probably most played on his iPod. I am not shitting you let's see, I'm just going to randomly hit the play button. On my iPhone here, and Let's see.
This is great.
This is random.
But there's something about what Rue said that, like, I work out to my own music. There's something about Rue can pull off that sense of humor about being, like, conceited or whatever.
Because it's genuine.
Yes. Is that what it is?
Because she really is genuine. Conceited.
No, he's not. He loves his music. It's his passion. That's his, that's his baby. Okay.
Climazon's a great song, and, you know, it holds up. Months after the show.
That's my favorite one.
You like
I like
better?
Champion too.
Do you like that better than Cover Girl?
No.
Because you know one thing I'd love to do is
but
play
it's a
Cover
different
Girl
time.
And go jogging or walking, power walking, and then think I'm a runway model on the streets of Chicago.
I love it.
Foster's
I like
so
Supermodel too.
Disappointed that Rue didn't celebrate the 20th anniversary of Supermodel that came out in November.
What did you want him to do?
A tweet saying, hey, it's the 20th anniversary, anything. I wrote to Joelle, RuPaul's Girl Friday, and said, what's going on? You know, are you guys, we'd love to talk to RuPaul and do an interview with him about it or anything. And she was just like, her response was just like, don't ask. Nothing's going to happen.
She's doing no media over it.
No, like, just shut it down.
Really?
And I was like going, what's going on? Is there a bad
Michelle,
blow?
He's been complaining about this for 6 months.
Oh
I have
my
not
God,
heard the
you're
end
like,
of it.
Enough already, bitch. Shut up.
Let me explain to you.
It's true.
Because Supermodel was a real big deal for drag queens, for gay culture.
Yes.
It changed. It was a paradigm shift changer.
Yes. 92.
It was 1992.
20 oh, 92, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And in November, and it's like, to me, I
right,
think...
Right, because that's when, I have to process, that's when Soul System came out, and I saw Rue on the road.
I mean, George that's Michael, right. Madonna, all these big names from that era have had statements or done a re-release of the song or something. I'm just surprised that... And
it might happen, who knows, yeah. But,
it's
you
too
know...
Late. Done.
He moves forward.
25 year anniversary, maybe.
Maybe. He doesn't live life in the rearview mirror. Mm. He looks very much ahead.
Yeah, but his coins to be made. I mean, hopefully RuPaul still
He's
makes
not making
money
a lot of money off of his music.
Supermodel.
He never did.
He does it because he loves it.
He does it because he loves it. Yes, it's a. I'm telling you.
Because there's no money to be made in music anymore.
Not anymore.
Really?
Well, performing, I think there
well,
is.
Well, that's why. When you start selling out venues like Gaga and Madonna, well, that's different.
Sorry, Sharon Needles. Yeah, she's planning.
I heard it.
She's come out a new album.
Yes.
You've heard the new album?
I heard the whole album.
What'd you think?
I think it's way better than anything I anticipated.
Yeah, I thought the one that she released, Every Day is Halloween, the cover song, it was pretty good.
I think it was pretty funny because we were totally giving her hell because we were joking about, like, you're taking the Halloween so far. You like, not every day is Halloween, you know? And then she releases that song like 2 days later.
Yes, well, for her it is.
Every day is Halloween.
I was quite impressed. Uh-huh.
So we're expecting Sharon Needles to come into the home studio and do a live music session. So we'll see if she actually can sing.
Yeah, I don't know
person.
About that. But I know that the album sounds great.
Because we'll get a pianist and do unplugged
no,
right here.
Versions
no,
of those
No, you don't want Needles unplugged.
Why not?
No, no.
You got to give the fans a little something different so that they buy the music.
Yeah, they're going to run the other way. No.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Sharon's mom does listen to this show, Michelle.
Oh, I love Sharon's mom. Yeah. Sharon's mom will probably agree.
Was she on the cruise?
No.
Okay.
Frida Needles. Joyce Powell, how would you describe the upcoming class of
season five
queens? S5, they're calling it.
I think that they have stories to tell. There's interesting storylines going on that I've heard. I don't know a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were there.
Well, no, but understand, I'm not there. I am not in there with those girls. I am main stage. Bring me my girls. You know, I see what they do for their challenges, and that's it. Now,
they don't show you any of the video footage? You don't get to sneak peek or meet them in the hotel room or go to the bar?
We are segregated.
So the first time you see them is the first time we get to see you see them.
Correct.
Huh.
So you get no kiki time with them?
None.
Well, you know do you even know who the contestants are before they even...
No.
So you literally, they say, you know, Peaches McTriscuit coming onto the stage. And you're like, who the hell is that?
Right.
And you have to react to what they're serving you right
Correct.
Then and there.
Yeah. That's why people will get pissed off at me because, let's say, Fifi O'Hara is a twat in the dressing room. And then she comes on stage and I'm praising her, not knowing how she was bullying Sharon backstage. I don't, but that's probably why they don't show me. So I am completely unbiased, you know, because I don't know them as people. I'm only purely judging the challenge. And that's why they do it that way. So I don't know them as people. So I can't tell you much about this crop, except that I know there's stories. They all, there's some backstories there.
Were you surprised by Chad Michaels winning All-Stars?
No. You were?
No. I actually thought that Jujubee was going to win.
Jujubee?
Yeah. Because of the way that it was edited, it was like we were getting to really connect with Jujubee. Jujubee was
Raven.
And that lip sync for her life, and then they didn't send either of them home.
I thought it was Raven all the way. Raven. Hmm. And then...
They did. I think we did get to see a better side of Raven than we
did. Yes. And then when you saw it laid out,
we got to see more of him. Which
Chad
is great.
Really deserved to win.
Why Classic do you feel drag. That Chad deserved it? Besides the fact that he's.
Look, they all deserved it.
But why Chad specifically?
Because Chad brought it every single time. Not that none of the other. Like Raven brought it every time too. Juju did. Chanel did. They all did. But Chad. Rarely faltered. I mean, Jujubee was in the bottom three, bottom two, three times they had the lip sync, I think.
Do you find Drag Race to be ultimately a competition about hair and makeup and costume and performance? Or where does, like, do you find the most important when you say bringing it?
Oh, bringing it meaning completing the challenge the way it should be done.
And so each so you find that the whatever the challenge is, when they meet up to task, that's how you judge it.
That's how I judge it. Yeah. This is the challenge. 1940s funeral couture. Well, if you come out wearing pink and it's big shoulder pads and fluffy hair, I'm like, no, that's 80s. Mm-hmm.
Do you meet with the producers beforehand and say, oh, you know what would be a real fun challenge would be due to this?
Or? I have nothing to do with the challenges. No.
Do you ever get like, boy, that was a stupid challenge?
Yes. I've walked away going, well, okay.
What was like one that you were just like, I can't believe you asked them to do that?
Well, sometimes the mini...
The boat challenge was pretty dumb.
Yeah, but it meant something.
It was pretty stupid.
It was stupid, but it was fun, though.
Who doesn't want to see a queen dragging a fucking boat down the runway? I do.
Come on.
I love like the bitch ball with the dogs. And anytime there's a big prop... Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. I mean,
I like it when it's fun to see the drag queens struggling and suffering and having these unwieldy things, because there's so much about being elegant and effortless. And so when you see them kind of the cracks in their makeup,
you want to see them falter. You want to know that they're human, you know, and they're not just perfect like Chad Michaels, who's perfect at every freaking thing that he does. But yeah, I like challenges that push them outside of their comfort zone.
Corey Peck wants to know when you're going to be a contestant on Drag Race.
I already am.
And
every
you're the
week.
Winner.
Exactly. I totally won All Stars. Tell me I didn't.
You did win.
Did you get the 100,000?
No.
You didn't win.
I get to keep my seat next to Rue. Here's the thing. We knew that going into All Stars, and I told you guys this, going into All Stars, I thought All Star Drag. But then after we finished, the producers were like, okay, so the line now is officially blurred between contestant and you. So you look like you're competing. So for season 5, I did scale it back a little bit. I pulled it back a little bit.
Because they were worried that you were trying to upstage the queens by being too fierce.
And it wasn't upstaging, it was celebrating. Like if there was a theme, I went with it, only bigger. I don't know, because I do consider myself one of them.
It is interesting, like with some of the judges, especially the celebrity judges, they're kind of like, not sure what to do with their shtick.
True.
Like Elvira is one example. Like, you know, Elvira is super
funny,
sexy, funny, effortless. And then she sits there, you know, because she's friends, long friends with RuPaul.
With Ru, yes.
And she's sitting there and RuPaul just goes, looking fierce, girl. And she's like, oh, thanks. You know,
it's out of her element.
She squeaks.
Yeah.
You know, Elvira's usually the mistress of the dark. And she's like,
yes, it's true. It's
and of course, you know, seeing Sharon Neal's explaining her name to, what was the
oh, Natalie Cole.
Natalie Cole, who had a problem with needles herself, did
That's
she?
The yes. whole, that was the pun. Yeah.
Yes. That was incredible.
I just got your name. She looked at me like, you set me up, you bitch.
That was a long time ago.
Well, Michelle Visage, the time has come for us to end this podcast. But remember that your journey inspiring others does not end here, but continues on and on.
It better.
In your podcast, in your blog. You actually have been doing an elimination lunch all season long.
Yeah, I don't know if it's continuing for season five. They asked me to do it for All Stars, but I think it was a huge hit, so they might just have to. It was they didn't expect it to be, you know, when you turn on, there's 700 people on there watching on their lunch break.
Oh, yeah.
Quite successful.
I thought it was a good
idea.
That
show's actually very popular, you know.
It was lovely.
The drag races.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's created a whole industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even our interviews with you girls has been doing great.
Yeah,
you know?
Super fun. And if they do it for season five, I mean, I'd love to do it. Mm-hmm. I had a blast being able to talk to the eliminated queens. And
I liked it when you also interview the fans, when you interact with the people at home watching.
That's the whole reason to do it.
Yeah, that's really the best.
Yeah, I get to talk to them.
So,
you know, and you get to kind of see what they're all about, and they get all nervous and giggly and cute.
And you have a fabulous podcast.
Yeah, yes, World of Wonder. We do
World of Wonder.
Once a week, we do it.
And can we take credit for igniting and kicking it off with you guys? Because like when we first met you, you guys were just getting started.
No, they've done it for years.
Yeah, but they had put it on the shelf.
Because I walked in there and I said, this was before I met you guys, though. I walked in there and I'm a radio girl.
Yeah.
I said, if we're going to do this, it's only once a freaking week. Let's do it every single Thursday.
But they're,
and then it goes up on Friday.
They're like cavemen looking at fire.
I know.
When it comes to audio.
But now, no, they got it down. And now we do it. It's up every Friday.
Because it was really strange. I mean, they're in a remarkable video documentary production company.
Yeah.
And their podcasts, especially the early ones, it seemed
well, you
like,
couldn't hear them.
I'm giving them a little great shit. If they were on a reality show like
Leave
Podcast
the people
for
on a
your
positive
life,
note, Fausto.
I know.
No, no, he's right. Like you couldn't hear them talking and be like, it was a mess. But we've gotten the shit straightened out.
Well,
with me at the helm.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, and we certainly, I'd like to say that we like to push
well,
you in that direction.
Well, then you go ahead and say that, Fausto.
You give me some, though.
Yes, I'll give it to you, Fausto.
Thank you. Michelle Visage.
Anything else you want to take credit for?
Can I borrow some money?
Do I have
some? I'm
starving
to death.
I'll give you some dinner.
Michelle Visage, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
I love that I can come here and know that I have a place with you guys always. That
always
means a lot to me. Thank you.
Anytime you're in town.
Right? They just come to my hotel. They swoop me off my feet.
We were literally not planning on doing this. We had no idea you were going to be in town. And you just like texted me like 5 seconds.
I'm like, I'm here.
And I'm like, let's do it, girl.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic podcast. Fantastic woman.
Aw, fantastic men's.
Aw,
man's.
Thank you.
Thank
you. And don't fuck it up. And if you don't love yourself, blah, you know what.
All that
Somebody
stuff.
Will love you somewhere.
Right. Amen to that. I like the back alley. Back alley bingo.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Z's.